You're listening to the Chelsea Zerna Podcast, a podcast that inspires conscious leaders to live meaningful lives and to get in touch with the deepest part of the human experience. I'm your host, Chelsea Zerna, and I'm an international speaker and coach with the mission of rewilding the feminine back into society. Each week, I have a conscious conversation with best-selling authors, inspiring leaders, and revolutionary humans who aren't afraid of stepping into the unknown and exploring the greatest truths of life. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Zerna Podcast. We are here with Authentic Alex on the chrysalis season of this podcast. And today we're going to be diving into all things authenticity related. Authentic Alex is a writer and a poet, and today we're going to go into her story and how her spiritual awakening emerged. Alex, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Chelsea.
I know that you have been on quite a journey recently and over the past few years, and I think it would be amazing to start out with a little bit of your story, of kind of your corporate beginnings and this leap of faith moment that you took, and then also how it kind of shifted your relationship to why you're here on this planet and why you do what you do and your relationship to your purpose and your dharma.
Sure. I mean, how to condense that story? So yeah, it's been quite a wild ride. So I started working in the corporate world. I pretty much stayed for about 2.5-3 years and basically had what I call a quarter life crisis, where I just realized, do you know what, this isn't quite for me. You know, when I was little, I had dreamed of working in the city, having nice designer clothes, lots of money in the bank. And then I kind of got that, you know, at 24, quite early on, a lot earlier than I had planned. And something was sort of missing. You know, there was this sort of void that I was feeling. And I'm not someone that kind of ignores that kind of gut feeling. So I was like, you know, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? Let's figure that out. And then just realized, you know, I was quite lucky that I was in a role that was sort of, I was a head of training and development of this company. So I did a lot of kind of training courses outside of work, and then realized, hang on, my values don't really align with the industry that I'm in. You know, I love what I do. I love the kind of developing the people, but there was a lot that kind of wasn't working for me. And how did I even end up here? You know, how did I end up in this job, in this role, in this, you know, with those kind of goals? And sort of started looking into childhood and the way I was raised and where I came from, and, you know, realized, yeah, this isn't working. This isn't my definition of success, which at the time was based on money, power, and status. And I wrote a post on LinkedIn that said, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to dream of working in a really tall building with a pointy top by the river. And, you know, I wanted all these sort of amazing things like designer clothes, money, etc., and realized that, you know, it takes getting to where you want to be to realize it's not where you're meant to be. And I kind of, yeah, took a leap of faith and had no idea what was, you know, coming next, what I was going to do, but I just knew that it wasn't where I was. And went backpacking for 6 weeks on my own in Asia, and then came back and thought, you know, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur at some point. You know, I don't have a lot of things that are tying me down. Why not start? And I basically kind of went on that journey and was kind of very successful very quickly in that. I got named LinkedIn Top Voice for the UK twice, so ranking me in the top 24 most influential content creators. And I also was the co-founder of one of the biggest networking movements and hashtag campaigns in LinkedIn. It's called LinkedIn Local. So it was about connecting people offline, face to face. And, you know, I had everything that I wanted, you know, the big keynote speaking gigs, working with big brand clients like Coca-Cola, Dyson, Deloitte, etc. And kind of at the peak of all of that, I have a miscarriage. And then all of that comes crashing down. So, you know, about, yeah, 3-4 years later, you know, having had that kind of mental health crash, I have the sort of more physical health crash. And, you know, nothing really quite prepares you for that. I think I hadn't really quite experienced grief until that. And I just didn't even know how to handle it. So I, through some interesting synchronicities, end up in some woodlands in Hampshire. And there's a lady that's facilitating this retreat. I'd been invited by someone I knew on LinkedIn, you know, not particularly closely. And she'd recently had a miscarriage and said, you know, you should come to this. And this was sort of like, I guess, my first entry point into spirituality. You know, these groups of women that had come together, a myth was being told over that weekend called the Handless Maiden. And, you know, we were sitting, you know, and doing sort of these practices like, you know, making mandalas out of nature. We were writing poetry and drawing. Someone was singing to the food for hours whilst preparing it for us. Before we ate, there was a bowl made up for the ancestors. And I was like, what is this witchery and magic? Like, this is crazy. Where am I? What's going on? And I remember going back home to my partner at the time, and I'm like, all these crazy, weird things had happened. And, you know, he actually came from, you know, his parents were, well, his mum particularly was into sort of things like that. So he, you know, he'd had a life that was quite normal. And he was like, well, it sounds like, you know, you had a bit of a spiritual experience and et cetera. And that kind of, I don't know what quite happened in those woods, but some seeds were planted. And I ended up going on this massive kind of rabbit hole around all things spiritual, because I'd found that, you know, I'd done the psychology, I'd done the therapy, I'd done the mind stuff for many years, but it felt like there was kind of I couldn't quite reach somewhere in myself, and that wasn't working anymore. And when I kind of got a flavor of it, like it was kind of touching me in my soul in a place that I couldn't quite get to, I was like, I want more of that. You know, that's doing something, that's shifting things, that's alchemizing and transmuting stuff. And so I kind of, yeah, just tried so many different modalities. Also, because I'm a learner and I'm curious, and, you know, growth is one of my big values. So I really kind of went on this journey of learning and understanding. And it was giving me some sort of hope that, you know, I would find myself again in the midst of my grief, in the midst of the underworld journey that I was in. And all of that trying to kind of also answer a question that I've always been fascinated by is, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, the impossible question, or who am I today, should I say, as I found out. So, you know, I continued that journey. And then I've always sort of been sort of following a thread in my life and also in my work, because they're both kind of quite interwoven. And I kind of had this intuition, you know, there's something for you to, you know, I was on this big kind of mother wound healing journey. And I thought, you know, there's something around that needs to be healed, but healed on the land where my mother's from. You know, there's something like in the roots that needs attending to. And so I kind of had that in the back of my mind for some time. And I ended up in a spiritual ecology retreat last year in France. And I'd done a lot of kind of stuff that I was sort of going to in terms of workshops and retreats. But this was the first one where something really, really big, massively big, kind of shifted and opened me up. And I was doing an exercise where I had to kind of look at objects and concentrate. And all of a sudden, I was thrown into a past life regression of the land and invited to do land healing and to do ritual from something, someone on the other side of the veil, shall we say. And that kind of sent me on this massive kind of journey of trying to just follow the signs. And that same week, you know, that same week, I'd heard this woman talk about, you know, she was from some indigenous land and her family had emigrated and they'd cut off all their heritage and their culture and their customs. And then at 27, she decided to go back to the land and, you know, discover that. And then someone else that was a writer that, you know, was this editor at Vogue for many years, successful, nice house in Notting Hill, great designer clothes, and then realized there's more to life than expensive frogs, quit her job, sold everything and went to Mexico. And that, like, it was something that, you know, something had been brewing, and those two kind of talks in the same week just hit me in the gut. And it was like, that's what you've got to do. You've got to sell your stuff, pack up your bags, and go to Colombia to kind of, you know, do this ancestral work, this kind of finding yeah. out what's kind of at the root of this sort of family stuff. And that's the journey I've just been back from. So, you know, fresh out of the underworld and fresh off the boat.
Oh my God, I love that. And it feels like such a common thing for people when they're going through the spiritual awakening journey to realize, okay, this isn't it. I have all the money in the world. I reached the top. You know, I had the same dream. I was like, I want to work in a skyscraper sitting at the top of the building. You know, and when I had that, there was this moment of like, this isn't it. This really isn't it. I worked so hard for this all my life and I'm here and this isn't it. What is it? Like, what could there be? And similarly with me, it sent me on a journey of selling everything I owned, putting some of it into a storage unit and taking a trip to Asia and just going on that journey of answering the question, who am I? And I feel like so many of us, they go on this like pilgrimage to getting lost and then finding themselves through this journey of just not having a plan, you know, detaching from everything and for the first time being like, what does it feel like if I just listen to my intuition and I follow my intuition and I remove all these expectations from that I've placed on myself, that society has placed on me, and just go on this journey. And yeah, I really resonate with that story. And I'm curious how, you know, sometimes when we go through a really big challenge and we experience grief or just loss in a certain way, it can kind of make us question things, like question our reality, like create more meaning. Like, what is this all for? What are we actually doing here? And, you know, you mentioned your miscarriage and how that really fueled you on this journey. And I'm curious how your exploration of grief and uncovering the different really deep layers impacted your journey and like moving through grief, connecting that with your background and authenticity, and then also land. Like, how did all of this kind of like conspire for you?
Well, the part that I do know about, because I'm sure there's elements and all sorts that were happening without my knowledge, but you know, there was a lot of having to learn about emotions. You know, I'm half Colombian, half Moroccan. I come from a culture that, you know, emotions aren't exactly welcomed. And allowing myself, giving myself permission to kind of actually grieve and actually feel what I was feeling was really hard work at times. You know, at the start, it's very easy because it kind of just all comes up. And then other times, you know, you're trying to hold it together. And just that kind of allowing yourself to kind of fall apart, that was scary for someone that likes control and likes life to be in order and for things to be in a certain way. And you also kind of don't get a choice, you know, that's those events kind of throw everything up in the air and turn life upside down. And, you know, I don't think I was prepared for how much I'd lose. You know, you think, oh, you're just, you know, this is just a baby loss. And it's so much more than that, because kind of grief stripped away the identity that I'd, you know, the ego identity that I'd created for myself, the lifestyle that I had, the partner that I was with, the career I had just no longer felt, you know, even though I'd left my corporate job and I'd built the business around things that I love. There was just no meaning in that anymore. You know, I wanted to be doing deeper work because that just felt like, that's it. I'm done with, who, you know, this kind of whole life that I'd built. And it felt quite a recent life. You know, it'd only been 3-4 years. And it's like, I've done all of this work. And now I'm just, you know, I'm not even chucking it. I have no choice. It has to go. And that, you know, that's a hard thing because you're experiencing multiple losses over long periods of time. And that was also a difficult thing. And learning about grief, you know, like learning how to grieve, that was something that, you know, I got really fortunate of finding myself in an environment with people that could help me through that process. And that process didn't last, you know, a year. Like, it was a longer process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with constantly being triggered by people saying things, seeing something in a movie, friends with kids. Even up until now, you know, I can see something and just something will just touch that wound. And so, and being okay with that happens, that, you know, it's okay for that, to feel that, you know, to feel that. And going back to therapy, you know, of knowing that I needed support because I was kind of drowning in it. And taking that time that I needed to just not do anything and let my body kind of recover. And yeah, just so much impact on, you know, my physical body, but, you know, emotionally and spiritually and psychologically.
Yeah, I think you make an amazing point where I feel like a lot of people, for most people, it seems like emotions are just something that, because we live in a world that's so driven by logic, emotions are like almost this off-limit place, especially for men, but for women and men. You know, a lot of times, even in my own life, I didn't really have a healthy feminine role model. Like, my mother was super depressed and she really, really went into those places and stayed there. And she feels so deeply, and it's so beautiful how deeply she can feel. But there's also, what does it look like to have a really healthy relationship to emotions, to feel, and then also to move through? And I never really got to see that growing up in really any of the ancestral line, like on my mother's side. And then also, you know, on my father's side, it's just very Eastern European, you know, nobody smiles in photos. Everybody is really kind of cold. Mm-hmm. And there's a beauty to it. You know, there's like a stoic type of nature, but it's also like a culture that was built on really suppression of emotions, which, yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, it serves you, you know, at some point it serves you and then it stops serving you.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah. It can be a beautiful control mechanism to be like, I'm not going to feel. And it can be beautiful. Like my father is incredible at like regulating himself and being in the middle, whereas my mother is very much like swinging constantly. So it's a beautiful polarity that they hold, and they've made it work so well. But I've just noticed in my own life that there was a craving to dive deeper into what it means to actually like express emotion and go deep into the emotion and then transmute the emotion. And, you know, studying emotion has been a huge part of my life, and it became one of my highest values, like emotional consciousness. And I, in my own life, I haven't actually experienced a lot of grief. And so this is a journey that I feel like is so, so, so deep and so challenging that, you know, some people, I imagine, it can really take a hold and create like, you know, years potentially of moving through and just like being with it. And I love what you said around, yeah, sometimes you get triggered around something that comes up, you know, you see a movie, and just learning to accept it and be like, yeah, this is okay. This is here. And like, be with yourself, like hold yourself, like be with your own inner child even. And I think that's so beautiful. It's almost like the ultimate process of coming into a state of regulation and self-love and self-compassion and having a really beautiful, healthy relationship to your emotion.
Yeah. And I could say that, you know, now a few years on, like 4 years on, I can say it is also one of the greatest gifts that I've been given. You know, that it takes a while to get to that place, but the amazing things that have happened, the amazing people that have come into my life because of what happened, the amazing gifts that I've been given in return, you know, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. I wouldn't want to relive it, but I'm so grateful that that was, you know, my path.
And I would love to dive into your journey with authenticity and how actually that's evolved, because, you know, in your corporate career and, you know, in the past, you were this voice of authenticity on LinkedIn, like one of the number one or the top voices in your content creation. And sometimes when you go on a spiritual journey, it's almost like your own relationship to your emotions and your authenticity also increases. Like for me, I went through a massive shift. Like I thought I was authentic when I was working in my corporate job. And then after I went, even when I was in the beginning of my awakening and everything was falling apart, and I was just, what was happening, I feel, was all of my layers and my masks were falling off. And I was like really seeing, who am I? Like, who am I? And going super deep into that, and layers of authenticity started coming through. And I'm curious, for someone who was a voice in authenticity, how your journey into authenticity shifted as your relationship to your truth and the answer to the question of like, who am I, shifted.
Yeah, you know, it's, I relate a lot to what you've just said. You know, I thought, I'm not sure I'd say I thought I was authentic in my corporate job, but at some point I thought I was being me until I realized I wasn't. And then I left and I then thought, you know, this whole Authentic Alex brand was born kind of naturally because people kept mentioning, oh, she's so authentic, you're so authentic. And so it kind of just stuck. And that's how the brand name was born. And I remember once at some point, you know, a friend saying, it's pretty polished brand for someone that's, you know, for knowing you. And I just remember being like, and, you know, it was something that always kept kind of percolating and bothering me. You know, I have this authentic brand, how authentic am I? And, you know, I started to learn that this, you know, it's just not a static thing. It's not a place that you reach. It is a journey and it is a practice. And, you know, like, similar to you, like the mask dropped off when I left my corporate job, I made sure that I left, you know, the mask at the door. But then I just realized, no, we're just constantly dropping masks. Like, there is no end point. There is no end game in this process. You know, we're constantly evolving humans and we're so kind of complex and interesting and unique, and this is, you know, a process of constantly wondering and exploring. And I find, to me, it's one of the most fascinating things to kind of explore and think about. You know, I'm kind of more now in the spiritual side of things. You know, I find myself dressing differently and speaking differently and using different words, and I'm kind of like, you know, what's after this, you know? So it's just this constant kind of taking off skins and exploring different things. And, you know, when you see older people and they're just them, you know, like they're just absolutely like, don't give a beep about anything and just show up in that way. And I just think, you know, that's kind of where I want to be, like sooner rather than later. And, you know, and that's a process. And for me, I think that grief accelerated that process a lot. Because you, and again, not by choice. And something that I really, you know, like is that I've read is that when we experience some kind of trauma or grief or loss, our psyche scatters. And then we kind of go out into the world at some point to kind of reclaim that and bring that back into ourselves. You know, this part. So in shamanic work, we talk about soul retrieval. And it is that kind of, when some that stuff happens, it kind of goes out somewhere to keep it safe, because, you know, we experience something quite unsafe and traumatic. And then it's our job to go and find that peace. And sometimes we don't even know that, you know, we don't even know that those parts of ourselves are missing. And I think that the journey of authenticity is not just to do that when we have the trauma or the loss, but it's to constantly be going out and finding those pieces. And I don't mean going out as in out into the world, because we also tend to think that that's where we go find something. But it's like going in and out to find those pieces, because I'm a massive advocate of going out into the world and having these journeys to kind of find that. But I'm also aware that that's, you know, it's an inward process as well.
Yeah. It's almost like the more, it's like the deeper you've gone into yourself, the deeper you can hold others. And the journey of authenticity, I feel like maybe sometimes we create these shields for ourselves and for other people. It's like, oh gosh, I don't want to burden someone else. Or, oh gosh, I don't know how real I can be. You know, is it okay to be dancing like a wild banshee at this event when I'm the only one doing it? It takes a lot of courage to be like, all right, I'm going to be fully me. I'm going all out there. And especially if like the environment doesn't have the same level of depth and authenticity, there's this desire to kind of mask and be like, okay, I'm going to show up as this much of myself, or I'm going to show up as this much of myself. And I'm finding myself more and more being like, gosh, how can I show up as deeply as possible in, like, you know, in all environments to where it's appropriate? And like, how can I just show up as me in the deepest possible way in all environments? You know, that's the question that keeps coming forward.
I love that, because, you know, that's a practice, right? You know, like, I'm going to go to X environment and I'm going to see how much of me I can bring into that. And also understanding that, you know, we've also got to think about, where is it safe to do this? You know, who are the people that are around that are safe to do this with? Because I think that that's something really important to also factor into that process. You know, not all places are going to welcome that. And, you know, there's a risk when someone's at the beginning of that journey that they're like, great, I'm just going to show up like this. And then they do it in an environment that's not welcomed. And then they just shut up, you know, like a clam.
It's traumatizing, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not received or accepted. And it can feel like shame and judgment, which clouds authenticity.
Yeah,
I feel that. I feel that. And the other piece is, you know, as a leader, how can you drop other people into deeper levels of authenticity? Because something I find when I'm holding space or when I'm leading something is you always have that moment where there's somebody that really, really wants to show up authentically. And there's other people who are hiding in a space. And there's kind of this desire to bring out more of people that are hiding. Like, I would love to hear you. I would love to hear your voice. I would love to hear your truth. And sometimes what that means is you have to, you know, be a little edgy and kind of share, hey, to someone else who's fully authentic and taking up space, like, you know, we would love to hear everyone's voices in this space. And although you want your voice to be heard and you're showing up in your authenticity, there's an element of kind of creating balance in the space. And I found myself kind of like at an edge where I'm like, gosh, I don't want to shut off someone's expression. I don't want someone to feel like, you know, they have to suppress who they are. But there's a level of self-awareness that can come through of like, hey, you know, me being authentic as a facilitator is sharing that you're taking up a lot of space and there's other people in the room who don't have the spaciousness or the ability to really be authentic in their truth because of this imbalance. And it can be really edgy sometimes, you know, to show up in that.
Yeah. And I can imagine, you know, I've been a space holder for like 8 years now. And, you know, I have definitely come up against that. And I think, you know, it's the words that we choose and it's the energy that we come into that conversation with. And it's also the container that we create as space holders. And, you know, I found that from my experience, you know, firstly, practice what you preach, you know, how you show up influences how other people show up. If I'm not feeling great, I'm not going to come in there and be like, yeah, great, come on, we're going to do so, you know, like, and allow people to kind of show up where they're at and create the environment that allows that to kind of naturally shift if it wants to. It's a great question. There was something else I wanted to share about that.
I think it's something too that I'm always constantly really hyper aware of because my deepest desire is for people to live in their full expression. And it takes a lot of consciousness to be able to read an environment and authentically show up in a space that feels really resonant with the environment. And that's why I'm so curious about this conversation around what does it mean to be really authentic, you know? And what does it mean when you're in an environment that might be disharmonious to what that authenticity is? Like if you're showing up in a space and your authenticity is, okay, I'm going all out right now, which I push myself to do because I love operating in that space. And there's other times where I'm just like, okay, this actually doesn't feel appropriate. And then from like a space holder perspective, that question also comes forward. It's like, is this appropriate in this moment? And how can I inspire greater levels of authenticity and expression while also inspiring a deep, deep level of self-awareness? Why am I taking up space right now? Where is this coming from? What is my motivation for expression? What is my motivation for speaking right now? You know, and that's something that I think comes from within, but it also can be like a reflection from outwards, from other people.
Yeah. So, you know, what I'm kind of feeling into with that question is not so much thought, you know, yeah. Like just kind of more being present and in your body and in how you are feeling in that moment. Without going into so many questions about how should I be and what should I be and how much and what percentage. And, you know, then you're going a lot into kind of your mind and you're not really so much in your heart, which is really kind of where we, you know, where we are, where our soul is, where we, you know, show up in presence and in being.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really think about, you know, in my practice of authenticity, I'm not thinking about how my being every second of every minute of every day. You know, I'm just catching myself of like, that didn't feel so aligned, you know, when I said X. You know, it's more of a kind of afterthought than a kind of in the presence, how am I choosing to show up? Because then you're in your mind, you know, then you're in your...
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, is the way of dropping deeper into authenticity is dropping deeper into the body. And this questioning actually came forward after an experience that I had holding space, where there was one person in the room that was taking up the entire room the whole time. And afterwards, I had to sit with myself and be like, why didn't I come forward? Why didn't I say something? You know, how could I show up as a better leader to create more authenticity, to create more spaciousness? And I think you nailed it. It's like being in the body, being present.
And then it's the compassion for the you that didn't quite get it right or not even right. That's not the right word, but didn't notice that, right? And didn't
speak up.
Feel aligned. Yeah, didn't feel aligned with showing up in the way that you would normally show up. Or, you know, so for me, it's very easy to kind of go into judgment of like, oh, you should have showed up like this, or you should have said that, or, you know, that wasn't something you did right. But it's having that kind of love and compassion for you that's still learning how to show up in that way. You know, that's the practice.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So what does it mean for you to be embodied in an authentic way? Like, what does it mean for you to show up in authenticity from your heart space and from your body? And how does that show up in your life when you're both participating and then also co-creating life? You know, like you're in the leadership role and then you're also just sitting back and receiving.
Well, it's how I show up when I'm not working, right? It's the life that I'm living. It's the way that I'm choosing to kind of live my life. So something that, you know, I've recently chatted to some friends is that, you know, we live a very interesting life. We, you know, regularly go out and wild swim naked in the river nearby. We regularly sit down and create together, you know, like doing things that are creative and writing and reading poetry and sharing books that we like. We often share food together. We cook for each other. We live kind of quite a like slow pace of life. And that kind of just naturally does something to your body, you know, like that sort of life that's like a little bit more slower, a little bit more intentional, a lot more in your body, a lot less in your mind. And it kind of just naturally begins to spill over because it becomes a way of your being. I want to say a way of being, but your being. And then, you know, I noticed that then begins to look different in terms of how I show up. And the reason I know this is because, you know, 4 years ago, I used to, you know, the woman that kind of ran the retreat, these other teachers that I had at the time, I looked at them and I'm like, God, they're so grounded. They're so present. They're so intentional. And the way that they hold space, wow, you know, that was something that all of a sudden, you know, leaders that had a nice title and a lot of money and, you know, holiday homes, all of a sudden got replaced by these women, particularly women that were like really like grounded and in their body and, you know, full of wisdom. And I'm like, that's the kind of leader that I want to be.
I love that.
That's what I want to embody. And, you know, I'm always a big fan of like, you know, having a vision board of like the people that inspire me. And the, you know, where I want to be. And I always kept in mind these, you know, there's a few people that come to mind that I'm like, I want to kind of live in the way that they live, you know, not in this altered, you know, high stress state, running at a million miles an hour, always in my mind, always self-criticizing or judging or, you know, and how do I get there? Like, what are the practices that I have to do? And it is, like I said, I keep repeating it, but it is a way of life to kind of be in that way.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. There's like in the journey of slowing down, there's a lot of spaciousness for presence and like a settling in the body. It's like you start to become attuned with your breath and literally become. I feel like there was a point actually in my journey where I became embodied. It was like I was living outside of the body because I wanted to escape my emotions, escape my experience. It was too much to feel. It was too much to manage. I didn't have the tools and resources to even know how to do it. And then there was a moment where, not just a moment, but a period of life where I was intentionally becoming embodied, becoming aware of my breath, becoming aware of my movement, becoming aware of the sounds I was making and like intentionally sounding like constantly throughout my day. There was a period in my life where I was just like, like in public, I would just totally start sounding just to release energy in my body. And I was like feeling my spine like undulate with my breath. And I was like becoming more present and actually slowing down. And Yeah, I still love to this day movement. Like, I love being in motion. I love dance. I love movement. And currently I'm dating a partner who is a meditation instructor, but not just a meditation instructor. He's like the founder of this company that's like with some of the most intentional Buddhist meditation teachers in the world. And so every single morning for an hour, he's in stillness in meditation. And my embodiment practice is now becoming not just around movement and becoming aware of my breath, my sound, my movement, like the tantric path, but it's becoming more aware of being in my body in stillness and feeling that grounded silence. And that has actually been a new level of embodiment and magic.
Yeah. And you know, I love what you said. It's a new level. You know, that is it, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get to like somewhere deeper and then there's more, you know, there's no end to that process. It's just a constant, like there's no, I'm finally X. Like to me, it's just again and again, you know, like we'd often see that kind of like spiral.
Exactly.
It's like you feel like you're coming all the way around and actually you're just going down one more and down one more.
Totally. Actually, and the way that you just described that is how we designed our metamorphosis program. It's actually moving in a spiral, the entire journey. Some people look at the journey of the 7 stages of consciousness and they're like, oh, so there's an endpoint. So at stage 7, you make it. And you just nailed it. It's actually a deepening. Every time you go around the spiral, you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the journey. It's not like, you know, you awaken in, most people don't awaken in a, like one lifetime. It's just like it takes so much intentionality to drop deeper and deeper and deeper into that spiral. And I think that's the point. And I actually feel like that's directly connected to authenticity. It's like, how naked can you be with yourself? How many layers can you strip off until you're just pure source consciousness? Until you're so connected to unconditional love that there's nothing else that exists on top of it, because everything else is just added over love and put in this package. But it's like at the end of the day, when you strip everything away, like when I'm feeling into what is authenticity, it's like the deepest connection to unconditional love in the most naked form.
Yeah. But I think, again, it's that, and that's not permanent, right?
Yeah.
We'd like to think it is, but it's not. You know, we can touch that place, but, you know, then life happens. I guess that's the beauty of it as well, because we wouldn't cherish it and value it as much as we would if it would be something that we could touch every time, right? And life is this whole process of like up and down and things that happen and the impact it has and the losses we have and the suffering. And then the other side of that is that.
Yeah, it's like the perfect duality. It's like, yeah, at the foundation, it's like unconditional love, and also being authentic is being with what is in that moment, which is sometimes not unconditional love. It's very true. Yeah, there's like this part of, even as I was saying it, like, you know, it's like love and peace, peace and love. It's like the state we all want to operate at. And then when we're out of that, there's this desire to like spiritually bypass or be like, well, it's all love, you know, everything that's happening in the world right now. It's like, okay, you can just chunk it up to where's the love? And when we like dive deeper, it's like, well, what does it mean to just be authentic with what is? This is perfect duality and, of both.
And that's, you know, and that's the challenging part. So I came back from Colombia and, you know, I was sort of I'm in a bit of a career transition. I'm letting go, you know, post miscarriage, all the stuff that I've been doing, the LinkedIn kind of coaching and personal branding. And I'm moving into this much more kind of spiritual offerings. And I'm sort of in this in-between period. And then out of nowhere, someone offered me a job. And I thought, well, I'm kind of not looking for a job. But, you know, given a few things like my health at the moment and being in this in-between and not knowing what next looks like and letting go of the rest, you know, how am I going to earn money? What am I going to do whilst I set everything up? And I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea maybe for a while. And I never, ever imagined of going back into the corporate world. And before I knew it, within 5 days, I was starting a new job back in the corporate world. And, you know, I'm 2 weeks in and I think this is going to be such an amazing place to practice what it means to kind of go on that journey, drop the layers, let go of that stuff and see if you can remain in like with your integrity and your authenticity in industries and environments that don't foster that normally.
Wow, that is a huge...
You know, that is integration.
Test. Yeah, that is very much integration. It's being tested with all of the skills and the knowledge and the things that you picked up over the years. It's almost like in the hero's journey, it's exactly going through, you know, you go on the adventure, there's the call to adventure, you meet your mentors, and then you get tested, and there's this integration, and then you return back, and you actually give from that place of, okay, I have a higher consciousness that I've developed over this journey, how can I now bring this back and contribute everything that I've learned back into the world, which is super beautiful.
And it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I have thought about it in that context. You know, you could have taken like the last 6 years out, and it feels like I'm right back, you know, where I started, but I'm so completely different to, you know, 6 years then.
And the beauty of that is also there's some amazing, there's a huge need in this world for amazing leadership. And a lot of times when we go on these spiritual journeys, there's this desire to kind of exit that world. It's like, okay, these people, you know, we categorize, these people haven't done this, and therefore I want to separate myself. And there's a lot of power in really, really conscious people going back into really amazing leadership roles, like politics or, you know, leading companies and things like that. And that separation, I think, maybe makes the influence less potent. It's like, okay.
And, you know, it's interesting because I, for a long time, was sort of thinking, well, you know, like if you have these gifts, why wouldn't you use them? You know, like why wouldn't you, you know, do that solely? And I remember I came back from Colombia and I was meeting up with a former client of mine who had done a bunch of my courses. And I was telling her a little bit about some of the things that had happened to me in Colombia. And I said, you know, I got this, you know, I had this initiation as a curandera, which is a healer, you know, on some psychedelics. And she said to me, you know, I'm a healer too. And, you know, this is someone that works in, you know, in a corporate company and does leadership, you know, she does leadership training for companies. And then I thought, oh, you know, like I didn't know her that about her until we had that coffee and I'd been working with her for a bit. It's not always the kind of thing that you share. Mm. But I thought, wow, like just it kind of really opened my mind of like, this work doesn't have to be done outside of those worlds. It can be done inside of those worlds. And if anything, it's the kind of spaces that need that energy, you know, the most.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. And I think that's this question of authenticity comes through even more because when you return back to that space, it's exactly the question that you're asking. Can I hold my level of integrity? Can I still bring forward all of these skills? And can I remain sovereign in myself without kind of meshing with the environment that maybe hasn't developed that? And it's interesting because we are who we surround ourselves with. So there's this like, there's this really important like centering that is almost required to come through when you return back. Cause it's like, how do I hold my center and myself so sovereignly and so securely in who I am and who I've now known myself to be? Knowing that the journey can continue, we keep spiraling, we keep growing, we keep going back.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you remain in your center and remain in that deep level of authenticity, even when your whole environment around you might not be holding that? It's like kind of going home to your family. You're like, okay, you guys haven't really done this work yet, but how can I remain in my center? It is a test.
Exactly. And that's such a good way of putting it. I was also recently chatting to someone that was sort of in a similar position that, you know, they'd been doing their own thing for a while and they'd been invited to go back into their old, literally their old job.
Wow.
Before they'd left and they'd been doing it for a few years. And it was only, you know, she was only going back part time. And she was saying to me, like, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, that this sort of like the return? And I said to her, you know, I'm kind of curious, you know, why did a job out of nowhere land in my lap? You know? And, you know, what's the purpose of that? And, you know, what am I going to learn? And who am I going to meet? And is there someone there that I'm meant to meet? Are they meant to meet me? You know, like there is no, I'm very much of going with the flow. And when something feels right, I just kind of go with it. And in that moment, that felt right. And it still feels right. And maybe at some point, it won't feel right. And I'll go back to, you know, doing other things, which is likely. But you know, it's kind of having that curiosity and that openness of like, where am I being, you know, this path, this new path that I didn't plan, because you wouldn't have, you know, like beforehand, I would like never, ever again. But where is that leading to? You know, what am I here to learn that I've not learned yet? Maybe, you know, am I going on a second round, you know, on a trip again, because there's something left to do. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. I love that so much. So what would you say right now your kind of mission is, and also the biggest thing that you're growing through in this cycle of your life?
That's a really good question. So I'm going to start with the other question first. I think that the thing that I'm finding that I'm really trying to do right now, like literally right now, so I just came back from this sort of very underworld journey in Colombia. I went to research my family's ancestry and genealogy. I got really deep into that work, like so deep, in a way that I wasn't expecting, in a way that I was being called to show up, you know, and do that. And I spent a lot of time elsewhere, like somewhere up there and somewhere down there, and not very much kind of here. And part of the reason I took that job is like, I really, really need to ground. You know, I'm a Taurus. So I was like, I can see why people get lost in these journeys, in these spiritual awakenings, in these underworld, you know, adventures. And I was so conscious of like, you know, the line that I was kind of treading. And it was like, I need to kind of have a human life and go back to like a very normal, kind of centered back in myself, grounded place. So I think my biggest challenge is that I'm very much kind of, my newsletter is called Crossing the Threshold. I'm very much someone that coaches people through thresholds, hold spaces for people going through thresholds. And I'm also big, you know, constantly going through thresholds myself, these initiations that are happening in my personal life. And it's like, now that I've opened up all this world where, you know, I'm clairvoyant, I can see things, I can hear things, I can, you know, I go to altered states of consciousness, like that's great. But I also need to live, you know, I came here to live. And I think one of the biggest challenges that I'm now having, now that I've just kind of gone, is like, how do I stay, you know, how do I kind of find the balance between this upper world, this lower world, and this kind of me in the middle?
I love
you know, and I think that's really important, because I have seen people, you know, that I know, that I personally know, get lost in somewhere, in, you know, and that's a scary place to be. So, and I could feel how close I was to that. So I'm just like, I need to kind of get back into some kind of normal life for a bit, and then see how I go. So that's where I'm at personally. Wow. You're going to have to remind me what your other question was.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on that, because I think that's super common, where people really, really, really get so almost obsessed and curious about what is it? Like, what's here? The mystery, like that undertone that just kind of like draws you in, and you're like, oh, wow. It's like this like hunger for realization and just oneness and connection to the divine. And I know people who've done 300 ayahuasca ceremonies in a single year. And in that space, I'm sure a lot of awakening came through, but also equally a lot of disconnection from what it means to be in the human experience, you know, to be grounded in the physical reality. And I definitely could see that happening. So I'm like imagining that, you know, I'm not exactly sure what this underworld realm meant, but I'm imagining that this like energy is kind of just pulling you in and just like, oh, I want to go deeper. I want to know more. I want to like uncover. And I've had these also feelings to an extent, but I find myself doing this more when it comes to like moving to a new place and being in this like spiritual community and kind of being like, okay, I'm not going to watch the news at all because this world is just insane out there. You know, there's this desire to just cut off, and I do it in that way. But I'm picturing this like underworld journey that you're going on is like, okay, I'm just gonna like live among the earth and just, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very long story that I'm not gonna go into, but you know, in spirituality, we kind of very often we're like in the light and the joy and the love and the da da da, And, you know, a lot of the spiritual practices that I had were very, you know, like, I don't know, healthy is not the right word, but like they were all kind of light.
Yeah.
As in light the color and light the feeling. Colombia has their spirituality is, you know, brujería, which is witchcraft. Mm,
yeah.
But the connotation that word has is negative. And I learned very quickly that it's negative for a reason. Okay. So there is a lot of kind of black magic and a lot of kind of darker practices that I had never kind of become aware of until I was there and I got sucked into, you know, all these things. And all of a sudden, you know, my perception of what we can see and things that you would normally see on a TV, watching a Netflix series, you know, all of a sudden I saw stuff in real life that, you know, I never in a million years imagined, you know. I know I'm giving like a massive teaser without saying what happened, but like, like seeing some things that you think that's not meant to exist in the world, or like, you know, those things are like in nightmares or on TV. You don't see these things in real life with the naked eye. And, you know, that's the underworld, you know, that's the darker stuff, that's the shadow, you know, of things that we don't kind of, that affect us. But we don't necessarily kind of look at or see. And so, yeah, you know, that's not a place to be for a very long time. Like, I was ready to leave, like, as soon as I'd done my work. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that happen in countries and on land. And I'm aware I'm being very vague, but like, that, you know, there's things that happen that need healing. And sometimes those things aren't all love and light, you know, sometimes they're dark. And yeah, they're also not particularly the safest of journeys. So yeah, I think I was ready to come back to the UK and to have a pretty normal life after all of that.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. Makes so much sense.
And if you want to know more, there'll be a book out, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're going to have to dive into that specifically. That's powerful. My second question is, what is your mission right now and your service that you want to be giving the world? Obviously, you took this job, but you know, we always have this connection to our dharma and our purpose. And obviously you went on this deep journey of opening up your powers, your magic, you know, your voice has always been super activated. And yeah, I'm curious what that is for you right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, my purpose has always been the same and it will probably remain the same. It's around helping people live the most authentic life true to themselves. And I think for me, voice is a massive kind of vehicle of helping people do that. I think I will continue to kind of do work around helping, you know, release that with people and, you know, just inspiring people with my own kind of journey and process of understanding, you know, who I am and how to live that kind of, you know, life as, and discover, yeah, more about how I show up more authentically every day. And beautiful. Yeah, that, I mean, that's not changed since I found out what it was. It hasn't changed. Maybe the way that I do it has changed over time.
Yeah.
But it's always the same.
Yeah. For sure. What would you say for people that are on the verge of their threshold? Like they're about to maybe take a leap of faith, quit their corporate job, and they just feel like there's more. They feel this level of authenticity that's just, they're not feeling met in their lives. And they're like, gosh, I really want to do something. Maybe it's go on a journey. You know, maybe it's go on a different type of journey, but what would you say to people that are kind of in that leap of faith moment contemplation?
Just do it. Like, because if you stay stuck in like thinking about it, I think you could, you know, I sometimes think back to like the beginning of some of my journeys. Like when I think about, you know, this feels like the moment I kind of made that, you know, in the hero's journey, you've got the kind of the ordinary world and then you've got the call to adventure. When you feel that call to adventure, just don't think about it and go, it doesn't matter that you don't know what's going to happen or where you're going, who you're going to meet. You know, there it's impossible to know that anyway. So don't try and figure that out because it's just a waste of time. But just go for it because, you know, there's so many gifts, you know, when you do those kind of journeys and those sort of self-inquiries that are super, you know, deep and take you into, you know, these territories. I think we can... If I would have thought about it too much, I probably wouldn't have done it. And had I known what I'd experienced before doing them, I probably wouldn't have done them. But I am so grateful that I did. And, you know, it requires courage and bravery for sure. But, you know, the boon, the gift at the other side is tremendous.
Beautiful. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast, All of Chrysalis. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your voice and your authenticity and your message to our listeners. And for everybody listening, if you want to learn more from Authentic Alex, you can find her on LinkedIn. She is a leading voice on LinkedIn, Authentic Alex. Also, you can go onto Instagram. Alex, is there any other place that people could find you or connect with you deeper?
Pretty much those two places, yeah. And if anyone has any questions or comments, just feel free to message on Instagram. I'm at @IamAuthenticAlex.
Perfect. Amazing, Alex. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys soon.
This is your reminder to live authentically, explore fearlessly, and never stop growing. Ashta Hay.